Hello, this is Lori Richards with this week's edition of the Harrison Press. And the top story, two running for Whitewater Township trustee seat by Sydney Murray. Two candidates, Alicia Johnson and Guy Shibley, are running for one Whitewater Township trustee seat. Jim Brett, who currently serves as the township fiscal officer, is the only candidate running for this position. Elections will take place Tuesday, November 5th, and both positions are four-year terms. Candidates for Township Trustee, Alicia Johnson. Alicia Johnson is a lifelong resident of Whitewater Township and currently lives in Hooven. She began attending local meetings after serving as the Hamilton County co-chair for the Trump-Pence campaign in 2016 and is now running for trustee to give back to the community that has done so much for her and her family. If elected, Johnson said one of her goals is to improve communication between the Board of Trustees and the members of the community. Although Johnson said she does feel the current board is doing a great job, she has learned from some community members that they don't feel heard. Johnson said she would like to see more utilization of the township website and a way to make it easier for the community to get in contact with the trustees and other administrators. Two other areas of focus would include fiscal responsibility and community safety. Johnson helped to reestablish the Neighborhood Watch program in Whitewater Township and serves as the leading team member for this organization. Johnson said she wants to see this program grow. She said she thinks one of the best ways to keep the township safe is good communication between community members and with authorities. If elected, she said she wants to look at the budget to see where there are any areas for improvement, which could mean more spending in some areas or cuts in others. "We don't have the resources that some townships have," said Johnson. Johnson is also involved with We Thrive in Whitewater Township, and it said this program provides resources to people who wouldn't normally have access to them. Johnson has been married to her husband for more than 20 years and is a mother to four children. Guy Shibley. Guy Shibley has also lived in the township his whole life and currently lives in Blue Jay at the address where he was raised. He graduated from LaSalle High School and works for the family business, Miami Town Auto Parts, for 10 years. He also worked for Feld Entertainment, helping to coordinate freestyle motocross and Monster Jam shows. Now Shibley has a motorcycle shop, manufactures motorcycle parts, and holds two U.S. design patents. He also owns and manages properties including 21 units in Whitewater Township. If elected, Shibley said he wants to work with the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office to maintain the best presence possible and said he's happy that the township's Neighborhood Watch is back in action. Shibley also said he would like to maintain the best fire and EMS department possible while staying within the budget. Also wants to work with property owners and the community to address nuisance properties. Shibley wants to see more community interaction and involvement, including better attendance at township meetings. He said he doesn't think this problem is unique to Whitewater and said all areas need to build back up their communities. Shibley is married with two children, including a son who races. Shibley said he is proud of working for the return of the 5 to 7 year old class for the World Karting Association. Shibley's father, Raymond Shibley, was also a trustee for 10 years. He said his father always said that those with the time, knowledge, and ability to help the community should do so, and Shibley said he feels he can help out the township. fiscal officer. Jim Brett has lived in the township his entire life. He grew up in Elizabethtown and now lives in the Blue Jay area. He is married and has a daughter and two grandchildren. He graduated from Harrison High School and has a bachelor's degree in management from Xavier University. He is in his fourth year as fiscal officer and previously served as a trustee for 8 years. He has also served on the board for Hamilton County Public Health for more than 17 years. As fiscal officer, Brett has a certification for investing in commercial paper and bankers acceptances, which allows the township to have more investment opportunities. The township is working with Red Tree Investment Group, and Brett said they are on pace to more than double their interest income this year compared to 2018. But Brett said he is conservative on investments and won't risk township funds for a better return. He wants to be a good steward of the people's money. He said the township doesn't carry a lot of money over year to year, and it's important that they remain fiscally sound. He said the fire department makes up the bulk of their budget. He said overall township costs keep going up, and the board is trying to prop up the general fund, because in the past money would come out of this fund for the fire department. Voters passed a levy for the fire department 5 years ago. Brett said he hopes to find more investment opportunities, ways to better spend funds, and ways to save money. As fiscal officer, Brett also got the township involved with Ohio's online checkbook, which shows taxpayers exactly how their tax money is being spent. Transparency is really important to me, said Brett. He said he thinks the public can feel confident that their money is being watched. For me, it's a good way to give back to the community, said Brett. Family Looks for Help with Medical Costs by Sydney Murray. For the past 7 years, Crosby Township resident Cole Jackson, age 17, has been dealing with daily pain and few clear answers on how to get better. In an effort to finally get some relief, Cole and his grandmother, Brenda Jackson, are currently at Arkansas's Sparrow Clinic, which specializes in working with the central nervous system and the brain. So far, Cole has had some luck and even received a new diagnosis, but at a cost of about $3,000 per week, he needs help financing the 12-week stay. The family is using the last of his grandfather's retirement fund to pay for some of it. Cole has been dealing with these health issues since he was 10 years old. One evening, during a football practice, he received two concussions, just minutes apart. In the years since, he has dealt with lots of head, body, and nerve pain, nausea, dizziness, and he said his skin sometimes feels like it's burning. In the past, he has been diagnosed with a traumatic brain injury, head injury-induced encephalitis, pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorders associated with streptococcal infections, post-trauma vision syndrome, and an injured vertebrae at his brainstem, at the neck at the brainstem, fibromyalgia, and severe chronic pain syndrome. Cole has seen many doctors over the years and has also participated in various treatments, including acupuncture, chiropractic work, physical therapy, exercise surgeries, adjustments, supplements, medications, as well as other treatments. Although Cole said he thinks he's good at handling pain, it has been bad enough to make him curl into a ball and want to rip his skin off. Jackson said everyone they have seen have said his brain and central nervous system are overwhelmed. Due to these health issues, Cole has had to forego many experiences in life. As a child, Cole said he loved to play sports, but he hasn't been able to participate in sports, he can't drive, and hasn't attended traditional school in many years. I hate that I can't just be a normal teenager, said Cole, but he does enjoy playing golf, creating music, and playing the guitar. Cole said he wants to be the best version of himself that he can be, and said God has opened doors and he has faith that God will help him on his journey. Cole has had his first appointment at the Spiro Clinic on September 3rd, and since then has received a diagnosis of Complex Regional Pain Syndrome, or CRPS. Jackson said they expect that Cole can make a complete recovery. Jackson said the goal of the clinic is to reestablish the central nervous system and get Cole out of there with no pain, medications, or supplements. At the moment, Cole needs help paying for about 7 weeks of treatment. The family is accepting donations on a GoFundMe page under Team Cole Jackson-Urgent, and Cole is spelled K-O-L-E, so it's Team Cole Jackson-Urgent, need help, and also have an account set up at KeyBank in Harrison under Cole's name. Those who want to donate can also do so through the Burning Limb Foundation by visiting burninglimb.com/giving and designating Cole Jackson, again that's K-O-L-E Jackson, in the For the Benefit of field. Jackson said all the money donated through the foundation will assist with treatment costs. Overall, Cole says he feels understood at the clinic. It's been constantly going forward, said Cole. Crosby Fire Department awarded $73,000 grant for off-road vehicle. The Crosby Township Fire Department has received a $73,129 grant for a utility terrain vehicle that will be used in various ways, including assessing hard-to-reach areas. The grant will cover the cost of equipment for the vehicle, training, and the vehicle itself, which includes a multi-purpose trailer. The vehicle also has an area where a basket to carry a patient can be mounted. Lieutenant Jonathan Keller said the vehicle can be used to access patients in more out-of-the-way locations, such as trails at Miami Whitewater Forest and Fernald Preserve. Other uses could include transporting people, such as moving fire personnel from a road to a house, said Keller. The trailer is able to hold about 6 firefighters, said Keller, adding he thinks the department will be able to start using the vehicle in early spring. The grant is through the U.S. Department of Energy. Firm now part of Strongest Leak Test Company. The TASI group of companies has taken ownership of the German leak test company Innomatech Test, which includes Cincinnati Test Systems in Harrison, creating the world's strongest leak test solution provider. The company will be organized in the TASI Product Integrity segment, which also includes CTS Schreiner, Symetric, and Sierra CP. Founded in 1983, Innomatech aims to replace all traditional leak measuring methods, including underwater testing with computer-controlled leak testing devices and procedures. The addition will expand the division's leak test business into Europe and enable it to deliver a technology and expertise to the global market, said TASI CEO John McKenna. CTS Schreiner will be organized under Innomatech, providing sales, service, and manufacturing resources for Southern Europe from Munich. CTS and Innomatech have followed similar paths over the past 40 years, Each has built a strong engineering team focused on solving customer challenges with innovative leak test technology, quick connectors, and custom systems development, said McKenna. Customers will benefit from the significant support and operational reach each organization has in North America, Europe, and Asia, he said. Moving on to page 2, we have two photographs titled City on the Go. And in the first one, we have Richard Sack promoted from Detective Corporal to Detective Sergeant within the Harrison Police Department at a City Council Tuesday, September 3rd meeting. Sack has been with the HPD since 2003, and he is standing behind the podium taking the oath. And in the other picture, Christopher Gundrum was sworn in as a full-time firefighter paramedic for the Harrison Fire Department at City Council's Tuesday, September 3rd meeting, and he is also standing behind the podium taking the oath. Moving on to looking back. 1969, Dan Patton wins first place in Model Airplane Combat Contest. And we will start with 5 years ago, September 13th, 2014. The GROUP chapter of BNI is pleased to celebrate 10 years of networking, passing referrals, and generating hundreds of thousands of dollars in business for one another. The chapter began in 2004 with a few members and now stands strong with 19 professionals in a variety of businesses operating through the Harrison area. The members meet every Thursday at Take 5 Bar and Grill Restaurant. Council members from Yorktown, Indiana, spoke strongly in favor of installing large gateway signs on the interstate that are proactive and highly visible. Harrison has seen significant development. 50 years ago, September 18th, 1969, Marine Corporal Jesse Calloway was promoted to his present rank while serving with Headquarters and Maintenance Squadron 26 at Marine Corps Air Station. Dan Patton won first place in the Model Airplane Combat Championships held in Canada over Labor Day weekend. He received a trophy plus $200, and although it was only worth $180 in American money, he accepted it most graciously. 60 years ago, September 17th, 1959. Enrollment in the Southwest School District has increased from 2014 last year to 2,256 for this school year. Plans are going forward for the annual Country Fair to be held at the Trinity Methodist Church in Harrison on October 2nd and 3rd. Sue Sperry, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Pierce Sperry, left Monday for Durham, North Carolina, where she is enrolled as a freshman at Duke University. Playing at the popular Auto Theater, Around the World in 80 Days, and also 310 to Yuma. 70 years ago, September 15th, 1949. Research at the Chicago Medical School gives promise that the diabetic ultimately can throw away his needle. Experimentations have been successful to demonstrate a long-sought goal, the giving of a drug by mouth to control diabetes. Mrs. Eugene Nefley charmingly attained with a stork shower at her home on Park Avenue, honoring her daughter, Mrs. William Kuntz. Newton Mote is returning to OSU 1 week ahead of the convening classes as he is a member of the university band. 90 years ago, September 15th, 1929, Mr. and Mrs. Rowan Worsley and daughter Thelma were guests of Mr. and Mrs. William Hartke of Harrison. Suing for a divorce from Mina Browning, Ishmael Browning, through his attorney, said he married her June 2, 1919, but after he had been told of her past life, he moved his household goods to Lawrenceburg. 100 years ago, September 18, 1919. As a farewell to Professor J.M. Richter, who leaves next week for residence in Harrison, 150 of his former pupils planned an informal party. The feature of the evening's entertainment was an old-fashioned spelling contest. P.F. Ludlow and his wife are preparing to move to their new home in Harrison to live out their time in peace and plenty. Mr. and Mrs. Ray Dawson and Sons of Huntsville, Alabama, spent the weekend with Mr. and Mrs. Clyde Seiferman and other relatives. And then there is a photograph that is titled, well, it's part of the Looking Back, excuse me, and it's 50 years ago, Ronald Dunn caught a 36-pound flathead catfish at Pioneer Park Lake. It took Dunn 1 hour to land the cat using a 4-pound test line. The catfish measured 41 inches long. And all of this was compiled and researched by Jenny Awad, who is a member of the Harrison Historical Society. Walnut Field Day is not a crazy idea. A Walnut Field Day will take place from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, October 5th at Shaker Tract Tree Farm, 8626 New Haven Road in Harrison. Participants will consider the entire life of black walnut from seed to mature timber tree. Observed will be walnut trees ages 1 to 6, 10, and two older plantations of 36 and 52 years. Participants will learn about plantation design, tree spacing, direct seeding, terminal and corrective pruning, thinning, natural tree management, and other walnut management topics. It is open to the public at no cost. To register by Tuesday, October 1st, contact HAMMITW at Clemson, CLEMSON.edu. And around town. Wednesday, September 25th, baton registration. The Harrison Marching Kittens will have baton registration on Wednesday, September 25th in the Harrison Elementary Lobby, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And the baton season is October 9th through March 13th. Twirlers will practice Wednesday nights for 30 minutes to participate in various activities around the town. For details or questions, contact Melissa Ramsey at 513-317-4426 or M. Ramsey, that's M-R-A-M-S-E-Y, at cincygroup.com. And Sunday, September 29th, the Shaker Open House. Visit the buildings from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the North Family Site where the Shakers once farmed, created, sang, and worshipped. Enjoy free homemade ice cream sundaes. Flea market held in the wagon shed with proceeds benefiting restoration efforts at the village. Whitewater Shaker Village, 11813 Oxford Road in Harrison. And then we have a photograph of, looks like a big piece of machinery. And looks like some bulldozers in there and quite a crowd. And the title of the photograph is A Place to Gather Coming Soon. Groundbreaking for the new community commons began Saturday, August 24th on Carolina Trace Road in Harrison. The 10-acre lot will feature an 18,000 square foot public use facility where the community can connect, play, and grow. Community Commons will feature an early learning center, coffee shop, and indoor playground, and will also house LifeSpring Community Christian Church. Visit their website, communitycommons.cc, for future news and updates. Man arrested for public indecency. A man has been arrested after he allegedly exposed his buttocks many times to a woman outside a McDonald's in Harrison. On Friday, September 6, officers were dispatched to the restaurant for a report of public indecency, according to a Harrison Police Department report. The victim, who was in her vehicle outside the restaurant, stated that Jeffrey Lee was getting trash out of the trash can when he bent over and she could see his entire bare buttocks. The victim stated Lee continued to bend over 6 or 7 more times, fully exposing himself, and each time and then would look directly at her and smile. She said Lee continued to take the trash to another area, but then returned, stood right in front of her truck. He smiled at her, lit a cigarette, according to the report. The victim said Lee proceeded to stare at her for the duration of the cigarette and didn't leave from in front of her vehicle. When Lee was found inside the restaurant by officers, he stated he was not guilty and had done nothing wrong. When Officer Tara Dugniero tried to cuff him, he became irate, pulling his arms away from Dugniero, according to the report. Officer Trevor Lutterby and Dugniero eventually placed Lee in 2 sets of cuffs. He was later charged with public indecency, obstructing official business, and resisting arrest. In a similar incident, a Harrison man was arrested for public indecency after allegedly exposing himself at the Sunoco on New Haven Road. On Sunday, July 28th at 8 a.m., Harrison Police Department Officer Theodore Yeager responded to the business for a report of a male exposing himself, according to an HPD report. The victim, who is a clerk at Sunoco, said that Dennis Hicks was standing at the front desk with his pants down far enough in the front that she could see his penis. She also told police that when Hicks was leaving, he pulled down the back of his pants and revealed his backside. Hicks later came back and sat in the White Castle restaurant connected to the Sunoco and stared at her for about 10 minutes and then left, said the clerk. A customer saw how upset the clerk was and called police, according to the report. When Hicks spoke to police, he stated he was in Sunoco, bought 2 energy drinks, and left. He said he went home, got a White Castle coupon, went to the restaurant, and bought 2 sandwiches, and then left. Hicks later was arrested after the public indecency charges were filed. And with that, we've come to the end of our time. This is Lori Richards, and this has been this week's edition of the Harrison Press. Everyone have a wonderful day.